Welcome to the Hangout with Gregory Collins.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome to the Hangout with Gregory Collins. Today, I got a special guest. This is my man, Corey. Welcome.
What's up, man?
Thank you, brother, for coming to the Hangout.
Yes,
for
sir. Yes,
coming
sir.
To hang out with your boy.
Yes, sir.
You know, it took him a little while just because traffic is insane right now in the 880. Man, you know, buddy. And you said you normally ain't like this at 7. I agree with you, man.
Not at all. Not on no random Wednesday.
Right, right. So, I asked you to come on for several reasons, but I think because you got a real interesting story. You know, when we first started talking, the first thing that came out in our conversation was that you were a fucking bowler.
Yeah.
You were a bowler, you know? And so maybe, first of all, what got you into bowling? And then, yeah, well, let's just start there. What got you into bowling, man?
Well, I guess I'll say my family, man. My mom bowled, my grandparents bowled. I was attached to the bowling alley since I came out. Like, 2 years old, running around the bowling alley. I picked up the ball at 4. Been on the lanes since 4 years old, man. Pro since I was 14.
Oh, wow. Now, when you mean pro, what does that mean exactly?
It's basically you get the bowl. I get the bowl things that can be on TV, all the regionals. Just it's open season, and we don't have to do everything. We pick what we want to shoot, and we just go for it.
For real? So there's like a circuit or something is happening and you just enter into and you're like, hey, I want to apply or I just want to get into this tournament or this league, this like.
That's basically what it is. They send you the email or the regionals and you basically pick and choose which one you want to shoot.
Okay. And shoot means you just like
yeah, just
submit.
Which one you want to go
yeah, yeah.
play in.
Okay. Yeah. Now, out of all those, how many have you ever won?
I've won one. I came in second several times.
For real.
It's bowling's one of them things. It's a very mental sport. It's like you're not going to go in every time and be like, oh, I'm going to win this. Like, the ones I won or came in place high, I didn't know I was going to get the money until third, fourth game. Like, it's a battle in there. And these people, like some of these local bowlers, just gotta watch out for them, man.
Nice.
I mean, they nice out here. I mean, you don't really have to be PBA to bowl some of the regionals. You just win a tournament locally and they'll put you in. Like, so, I mean, it's.
Hold on a sec. So you telling me, because I remember I think I asked you who was your nemesis or who gives you the most competition, and you mentioned the locals. So, you talking locals meaning random cats who will come to the bowling alley and just put on some shoes.
Some of
and,
them too. Some of
you
them
know,
too,
and they're like, I'm going to rock with you today. Is that what,
but
what
no,
you're
like,
talking about?
Everybody I bowl with, like these leagues and stuff, they've been bowling me since I was 4. Like a lot of them are older than me. Wow. They didn't watch me grow, and it's like we all been doing this for a while. And they some bowlers. Like a lot of them don't have the PBA platform or the background, You put them in some of these bowling alleys, and they're going to show you this work. They're going to show you why they're there, basically.
Right.
And that's the main reason I'm still in it. It's just we get together, and just never a dull moment in there. It's still like it's like old school. It's like
right.
We all family.
Right.
Type of thing, and
it's kind of like playing dominoes, just with the
right.
Just instead,
go get you coming up some spades or something.
But yeah,
just,
yeah,
you know,
some spades.
But yes, yeah, that's all it is.
So why haven't those other individuals gotten the PBA license? Like,
it's one of them things. It is expensive. It's like a membership use, like like golf type of things. Like,
okay,
you got to pay for the membership, and a lot of these times you go to these tournaments and get expensive, like. You go to some of you, and sometimes the agent pay the entry fee. But still, if you want to win like your side pots and brackets,
yeah,
you can be 5, 6, 7, 1,000, 2,000 in. Just,
right.
You'll get your money back. But just to say, well, you go there, you put that 2,000 in, you bowling bad, you just donated. Like, so it's one of them sports where you can get gambling yourself.
Right.
And win some money in the actual tournament.
So you got to put up like, you telling me you got to put up like a $2,000 at a game, like at one of these events.
I mean,
play or?
No, it's just because it's, you can bet on yourself. It's like a bracket system. It's like tier systems, it's different stuff you can get in incentive to make it fun. Because if you win the tournament, who's to say you're not going to get that check for a couple weeks because they got to verify everything.
And, right.
But that that bracket money and all that side pot money, that's before you leave that bowling alley. That's that same day.
Right.
And that's what that's where the money really is in these local tournaments.
Okay. Would you hold on, I'm gonna open this door just so everybody get some air. Would you or how would you encourage or would you encourage young youth, specifically kids of color, you know, because generally you turn on the TV and you think of bowling. This is why it stuck out to me that you were a bowler, was because, you know, usually you don't see a bunch of brothers. Not saying we can't bowl, because I used to love bowling, but what I'm saying is, you know, we're usually not represented whenever you turn that on, like ESPN or something, and then you see the PBA, you don't never see no brothers out there.
That's
just the celebrities.
I mean, that's just funny you bring it up, because, you know, bowling on TV don't get the football views, the, you know, the basket. They don't get the prime time times to be on where people can actually see it. Right. And I just don't think a lot of us know that bowling is actually a thing around here. And because a lot of the bowling alleys are on her clothes. Like, every bowling alley I grew up in is gone. Like,
right.
All three of them that I bowled, you know, since I was a kid got knocked down, and they all houses now. They all condos. So it's
it's kind of like a
dying sport, but at the same time, it's coming alive too. Cause you go to some places and the black culture is big in, but like LA, that the black culture is big in bowling. Like,
oh, for real?
That's some of the funnest times of my life, going to LA or go to Texas. It's a lot of like, well, it's a lot of, they out there.
Yeah.
But right, you know where we at, Oakland, a lot of them going bowling for fun.
Yeah.
They probably don't even know that that's a sport you can make some money off of.
Right. Or to get a little serious about.
Right.
You know, yeah, but I mean, I think it'd be interesting if there were, you know, camps or something that were held to encourage. Because it's funny, because when I think about it, like I grew up in summer camps, and then I was a part of summer camps running them.
Yep.
And bowling never really, like, maybe we went every once in a while, but it never was like a thing, you know, especially in the hood. You're just not thinking about bowling. I remember high school knowing the bowler on our, like, he was, what was his name? Will. Will was the man. And this guy hit a 300. And I remember his picture was hanging up in the, you know, but he was white. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He was a white dude. But he was good, you know, but there were no brothers on the team. But I just think about that, like, wow. Like, I was like, yo, we got a bowling team? I was so shocked. And I'm mad I didn't join it. Me and my boy Byron used to bowl all the time. But anyway.
Wait, did you go to high school out here?
No, New Jersey.
That's the thing. Like, out here, it's one every 20 schools that probably got bowling still as a. Because a lot of them had it as PE back in the day. Like, you know, that was one of the options.
What?
We go bowling. Like,
wow.
It's rare. Like, I just was so. I was, like I said, I was into it. Like, my mom was.
They
used to be scared of my mom walking in the bowling alley back in the day. She used to come in there with these group of women, all six women, and they'll line up with any man, any woman, and dog them for all their money.
Because
they call it basically pot bowling.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody come in there, everybody, it could be you, whatever, come there, put your money in, you win the pot. Some of these pots be $1,000 sometimes, $600, $500, so.
Cleaning house sometimes.
Sometimes you come to it clean.
Yeah, clean but house. Then sometimes, like you said, you don't come with the A game, right?
Right. Oh yeah, it's one of those sports where people can be good. You got your good bowlers.
Right.
But it's a very mental sport. You throw one ball and your whole game is done. Like,
so give me an example of a time you did that and tried to rally yourself back, or like what happened. Give me the.
It's been several times
setup.
Where
yeah.
I mean, I have 8 300s.
But, 8 300s.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's been times where, you know, you almost there. You get into the 8th, 9th frame. Throw the ball. You think it look good. It's one pin standing there, like 10 pin or something. That's the corner pin or like one of the corner pins. And them is actually some of the hardest pins to pick up.
That is the hardest. Would you say the hardest or? What's the hardest shot? I mean, because we did. I think you said the two.
The two on the end.
Yeah.
The 7-10.
Right,
I picked it up twice and. It's really no real good way to tell you how to pick it up. It's every time we just threw the ball hella hard at one of them and it bounced off the back and hit the other one.
Right. Kind of ricocheted.
And you looking shocked because it's like, damn, you know, I wasn't expecting to do that. Like, everybody I know that picked that up had that shock face on their face when they did it because they wasn't expecting to do it the way they did.
Right.
But it's for sure one of the ones that's the most rare to pick up.
Okay. But then, as you were saying, my bad, I took you off. But challenging time, the scenario, Give me the moment. Like, what were you doing? What were you thinking? What was happening? Was someone kicking
actually
your
a
ass?
Couple weeks ago? This is one another tournament I won second in. I go to the first 11 strikes. You know,
you hit 11 strikes, yeah, straight.
11, crack, 11, crack, 11, crack. 11 in a row. So I'm having such a good time. I'm not even noticing that I got 11 in a row. And it's like right before I get to 11th one, they like, oh, you almost got 300. You got one more. I look up like, damn, they shouldn't have told me. Like, I'm already looking like, damn, I should have said,
like, oh, set in. It's
man,
set in.
I get up there and I threw the ball and off my hand, I knew I wasn't going to get a strike. It's like, damn. Like, I knew it, but it's like.
Ooh, what happened? What did you end up hitting?
I think I'm 298. I'm a 298.
So you hit, how many, you hit eight pins then?
Yeah, I hit eight. I had two in the left in the corner.
And you hit.
And I was like, I turned around and I'm like, Why y'all say something? why y'all say something?
Dang.
Because them front 11, like, I was just so comfortable. I was just so comfortable.
Right.
Didn't even notice I was doing it.
And how did that make you feel? Like, at that initial, like, you know.
It gets to you because, yeah, you know, some of these tournaments, they give you incentive if you shoot 300. Like, you know, that 300 could have been an extra $500 in my pocket or something, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, damn, you know, sometimes they get discouraged. And we still got games left. I know this was like a 6-game tournament. I did that in game 3. So I still got 3 games left. So I was like, I couldn't dwell. And I think the next game I won like the front 7 in a row. And it's like, okay, I knew what my ball was doing. I was throwing the ball confidently.
Right.
It's like, I knew I threw a bad shot on that one, but it's like, okay, come on, let's get back to it.
Right. So you rebounded though.
I did. But it's not always like that.
No.
Sometimes you get these times you miss one and.
Was there a time where you you missed one and you just like got derailed?
This was Sunday.
Oh, okay.
This past Sunday, because I bowl 3 leagues a week, Monday, Sunday, and Friday.
Okay.
I'm in the league and I throw one. It missed. I'm like, okay.
Very first one. You gutter it?
No, it's funny. I went strike.
Okay.
And then I threw the third one. I'm like, okay, I left one pin. I'm like, okay, I pick that up. Throw the ball and it missed it. Like, oh.
So you gotta open. I gotta open that frame. Yeah, yeah.
So the next frame I get up there, I'm like, okay, don't trip. Throw the ball, I get a split. I'm like, oh, I ain't gonna pick that up. I'm like, oh, okay, so this two back to back opens. I'm like, all right.
So you already, once the split happened, you said I'm not gonna pick that up.
I already knew it.
You knew it.
It was one of them.
You already started doubting yourself at this point.
See, what people don't know about these bowling alleys is when you, like, you bowl leagues and you bowl tournaments, it's something on the lane they call a pattern. Like, it's oil on them lanes. They oil them lanes.
Right, right, right.
And it's hundreds of different patterns they can put up. It's like competitive patterns. Like, most of these house shots is what we'll call the house shots, which is these local bowl nights, they everyday oil patterns. Mm. They're easy, basically.
Okay.
And getting some of these leagues, they put a tougher shot out to where, you know, if you hit a certain spot with the ball not going to turn or it's going to do something weird.
Right.
You know, like, I threw that split and I'm like, the only angles I know to pick this up, I'm going to hit an oil spot and my ball not going to do nothing. So I already knew that.
Okay. So you do that and then you're like, all right, so that's 2 opens. And then what?
I get into the frame after that. And I don't know. It felt like I was throwing the ball good. I really wasn't in no bad spirits or nothing. It was a bad day, a bad day bowling. And
right.
I get up there and throw the ball in another split again. I'm like, damn. But I think I threw one more open, and then I cleared the game out with the rest strikes, and then, like, the next 2 games, I was just going crazy. It was like, I bought my series back.
Okay.
But
so that you pretty much just gave up on it.
Yeah, that game.
You threw it in, you were like, fuck it.
It was like I knew mentally, it was like, okay, I'm not even going to invest that much in this game because it's over, like, type of thing. So,
right.
Because if you keep that mentality, your whole day is done.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You can throw your spirits off. That can be team chemistry sometimes. You may throw the whole team off because you got that bad energy.
Right. Just transitioning from bowling, because something else that you are, as opposed to just a bowler, is you're a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And you own an embroidery company. So, what was it that, I guess, encouraged you to start this business? And why embroidery out of all things?
Man, it is crazy. It was just a lot. I was going through a point in my life where I just, you know, lost my job and, you know, dealing with a lot of mental health, which is another thing the black community don't ignore sometimes, but we'll get to that later.
Oh, yeah.
But I was dealing with a lot, and I fortunately enough to have a baby on the way.
Oh shit!
During all this, and this is the crazy situation with that. Me and my baby mother we lost like 7-8 of them before.
What?
So
wow.
When she told me she was pregnant, it was just like one of the things. Like, to me, it was one of the things like, oh, okay, well, no, you can't really get that happy about it because we'd already lost 8 of them. So it gets to the point where she find alcohol. And I told her, oh, this one's in there. Like this one's for the long run.
It attached.
This one's for the long run. I'm like, okay, so you know, we doing this finally.
Yeah.
And before she was born, I was getting a whole bunch of. I had a buddy that was doing, like, he was making quilts and doing the embroidery. He had a machine. And I was having him make some sweaters for me, you know, because we already had her name. I already had, like, an image in my head of what I wanted the sweater to look
right,
like.
Right, right, right.
And, he was doing a couple of sweaters for me. And one day he come back to me. He was like, hey. Because he worked for a company that sold the machines and stuff. So he come back one day. He was like, hey, my job selling the machine, you know, it's worth $15,000. They selling it for $2,000. I don't know nothing about embroidery. I'm like, yep, I'll buy it. Not one day I looked at an embroidery machine. Couldn't even tell you what embroidery was before then, really.
Right. It was just the discount you
said. It was just like, it sounded like a no-brainer. Fuck, I got the money right now. Let's do it. You know. So I did it. And, yeah, that was all it was. It was her and him. They, you know, they came through at the right time.
Right. And then that kind of, now the... Her and him. So did the baby end up coming along?
Yeah, the baby was the vision, I guess, of the stitching, and he was the provider of the machine, the first machine that got started.
Right. So, and now you got this business, and you feel good about it. What are some challenges you've run into, you know, in the startup and even just maintaining this thing? Because it's not easy as a business owner.
When embroidery is all about creativity. It's like not even really creativity, or it's like, are you making things that people want to see, type of thing? Because it's a competitive market. Clothing in general is a competitive market out here. And one day, my boy actually asked me. He was like, "What you gonna do to stand out? Like, you know, owning a business is a business, but what you gonna do that this business gonna start making some money? Like, what you gonna do to start being relevant?" And it's like, after he told me that, I just started thinking about it, like. So I'm like, okay, I just had a couple of ideas and started putting them on clothing, and then it just started going crazy after that.
Mm. People got attracted to it. Yeah. What was it? What did you put on there?
I started doing like portraits and like people's cars and like, you know, stuff that meant things really to people. Like,
right.
And I know what me and my boy was talking about. He was like, I really haven't seen nobody do portraits and embroidery. So I'm like, I'm gonna do it.
Right.
So I did some research. Sometimes I go through and, cause embroidery, they give you these programs, you know, you get these fancy machines, they give you the program, but if you ain't educated yourself in these programs, you stuck.
Right.
So I was doing a lot of research with people that digitize is making things into the embroidery format. So you can put it in your machine and it,
oh shoot!
But yeah, that's just a whole process, bro. Like,
okay,
it's a whole process.
Okay,
but I started looking into people that was good at digitizing, and I was just making like getting every detail of the picture you send them, and you know, bringing them back in detail form of the embroidery.
Right.
So I found a few people. They did a couple of pictures for me. I start doing portraits of my daughter. She you know, why not? I had a ton of pictures of her.
Mm.
So I was just putting her on things, and it was like everybody like started looking at him like, oh, like, do my car or do my painting. I didn't did paintings that somebody didn't paint it before. I didn't put there like, and it just, I guess I just found my niche and
you took off running.
Took off running and didn't look back.
Yeah, and you've managed to be able to scale and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's because not only that, you know, I do get the people that come in and they see that and they won't, you know. They want 50 pieces of their own or things. I done started people's clothing lines. But I done did a lot. I done did a couple of shirts for the city of Oakland.
Right.
I work with Damian Lillard family all the time.
Yeah.
Like,
that's pretty good.
It's like I'm, people see me and I don't even have a website yet.
So right. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, yeah, I don't think you do got a.
No, I'm actually getting my website built. It should be launching any week now,
right?
Type of thing.
Right. And is this your main gig aside from bowling and being as this entrepreneur running the embroidery shop?
I have a clothing line as well. I've been working on in the midst of all this.
What's the name of the clothing line?
It's called the Sky Rose Collection.
Okay.
That is my daughter's name.
Sky Rose?
Sky Rose.
Okay.
Then the inspiration was, I was in Target one day and looking at baby clothes. And I'm like, what are you doing these kids like this? Like, kids' clothes these days just look terrible. So it's like, I don't want my daughter to wear none of this. I'm gonna start her own clothing line.
Right.
And funny part is, I haven't even, my clothing line, like maybe just over a year, actually, year old. And I ain't even dropped my kids' line yet. Like, ever since I was doing pieces, the adults been wanting it. Like,
wow.
I'm almost a year in and nothing but adult drops. And the whole purpose was to make kids' clothes.
Right. So you've managed to run this successful business. Now, you brought up there was this point in your life where you were going through some struggles, some challenges. What did you do to finally get the hell up out of that? Because it sounds like it was, depression. And was this during the pandemic by any chance?
This was actually probably right before the pandemic. I'll tell you about it. It was just a lot going on. We took an 8-day trip cruise to the Caribbean. We ended up getting stuck in a hurricane.
Oh, shit.
So it ended up being a 14-day cruise. All right, cool. So the day I get back, job let me go. So I'm like, oh.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to be one of them years. And then just like, I got confident. I'm like, I'll find another job. Applying for jobs. Almost get one. That job called me back. Like, oh, you got a warrant out for your arrest?
What?
For what? I had got a prior DUI and had got a lawyer. The lawyer wasn't going to court for me.
Oh, so you paying this cat.
Paid this cat.
That's another person you got to sue.
Man, this cat and he didn't go to court. I got a warrant. Couldn't get the job. Like,
so that's probably why you got let go.
No, this was applying for new jobs.
Okay.
Like I almost had a new job.
Okay.
And then they looked that up on my record. Like, oh, damn, I can't get no new job because of this fool.
Wow.
So I was beating me up. It was beating me up left and right. I lost one of my best friends. Not even losing to no death or nothing. It's just like me and him got into some drunk shenanigans.
Petty squabble.
And like, man, it was left and right. Left and right. Like, it took me almost 2 years to bring myself back. But in the middle of that, these companies arose because she came.
Sky Rose.
This little Sky came 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I got let go of September 2020.
Okay.
She was here in March.
Wow.
So it's like,
So her coming, you think, actually helped catapult you into that good, positive space?
Yeah, I mean, because I always had it in my mind, like, I'm growing up in Oakland. Yeah, you know how it is. I never met my real dad. My grandfather raised me. My grandfather was chief of Oakland police.
Oh, shit.
So, he was the only father figure I had. And right. I'm like, man, I ain't gonna never do that to my kid. I'm gonna have a kid and be around. Like, even if me and her mama do get into it back in, I'm gonna be here for my kid.
Did that bother you when you were younger? Like, not knowing your dad or knowing that your dad wasn't around, knowing you had one and he wasn't around?
I think it bothered me the most that I knew he lived around the corner.
Oh, shit.
And I never met this dude. Like,
wow.
So I think it's like, bro, you that lazy? Like, you can't go around the corner. But nah, it is what it is, man. Everything that don't kill you make you stronger.
And to this day, you still never met this guy?
Never met this dude. Know his name and everything.
And have you ever seen him?
Nope. I mean, I seen a picture of him. Just like, I'm not finna go out and reach out to bro. Like, you the adult, you the parent,
right? But you don't seek it at all. You're not like yearning for this. You're not like, dang, it would be nice to maybe touch base with this man.
I mean, like, growing up, I used to a little bit, but at this point, it's like, I think of it. Oh, his loss. It's his loss. Type of thing. Like,
right.
My grandfather, he passed recently.
Sorry to hear that. God rest his soul.
Man, but he was younger. Mm. All he was doing was giving me free game. You know, being kids, we think they bragging, they nagging. Like, oh, we don't want to hear that. Mm. But me getting older, that's just, it's free game. Mm. He laced me with a lot of it. And it's like, I just appreciate that man for that. And really didn't.
So he filled that role of that fatherly figure. Yeah. So you ain't have to like trip out or, you know, but I know that that has to hurt a little bit, you know, knowing that there was this man that you looked at, you know, it was your father. He birthed you and you never had contact with him, you know, and he lived around the corner from you.
Right. You know, it's such a statistic out here that growing up in Oakland, you know, it's so many people that went through that too.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of people you can relate to out here. And it's a bad thing to say, but you know, after a certain point, they kind of tell you like, well, fuck it.
Life goes on, huh?
It just go. And now my grandfather always been, he, you know, he was chief police. He was all, you wouldn't know he was a police unless he told you, but he didn't act like that, but he did. It was real militant in that house. Like,
right, right.
It was just, he the reason today where I think is big on teaching a person right from wrong. Mm. I mean, he you know, black households, they whoop your ass if you didn't
know. He used to get up in there.
If you didn't understand right from wrong, yeah, they was going to whoop your ass.
Yeah. He didn't put up with no shit. Mm-mm. Where was your grandfather from originally?
He was from out here. Well, yeah, he was from out here.
Oh, he's from Oakland?
He lived in Sobrani.
Okay.
But he also did a lot of, you know, a lot of his life in the wars.
Oh, he was an Army vet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did a lot of that. Did he fight in, like, World War II? Or the Vietnam War?
I think it was the Vietnam.
Okay.
Because he got a lot of weird stories. They was funny stories, but talking about he wake up drunk in a whole other country and all type of stuff. Like, what y'all doing?
What?
But he was from out here, and a lot of my aunties and all them, like, cousins, they tell me, like, you a lot like your grandfather.
Well, he kind of raised you.
But then when they used to always tell me that. But then when I got older and I just used to look at him, talk to some of my cousins, like, oh, yeah.
The mannerisms.
I'm just like, bro, like, he's a jokester. He was one of the jokesters. Your kid come in. He never called nobody by their name. It was always their last name or kid.
Okay.
Yeah, what's up, kid? Or their last name. But
so what would he call you?
My last name, Foster. He'll call me Foster.
What do you say? Come here, Foster.
Man, all the time, Foster. Oh, this guy.
That's interesting.
But no, he never acted like a cop, but he did act like a cop type of thing. Like in home, he kind of had that cop. But outside, no, he didn't want people to know, you know.
Right.
He didn't want people to really know that. And he was a bowler. Like, I used to go every Saturday, every Sunday, watch my grandfather bowl tournaments.
Was he good?
Yeah.
Who would you say was better, him or your, or it was your auntie, right?
No, it was his wife.
Oh, his wife, okay.
And his daughter. Like, he had us all in the bowling alley.
And so who was the best out of, if all four of you were to go in your primes, who's taking home the championship?
My grandfather. Because he taught me a lot, like, a lot of my game. And people that watch me bowl, it was like, they say I got a lot of things that take a lot of people years to learn, and it was him. Like, my grandfather used to have me walking around the house with a Nerf ball just rolling off my hand. Like,
wow.
Like getting me ready to release the ball. And
To get you practicing with how to let it go.
Because, you know, a lot of these bowling balls, they don't turn. They don't turn just because you turn it. Like, it's the inside of these balls. These balls have cores in the inside that's designed.
Oh, wow.
To do that.
Right. And most house balls, you can't really.
No, the house balls just straight balls.
Yeah.
Straight.
Yeah. That's when you're bowling. That's the ones I was used to. But I always saw the custom balls for the. And every time they let it go, you hear the fingers pop.
Like, no, mine, you couldn't even hear the ball come on my hand. Like,
yeah.
But you knew it was going to hook harder than anything that.
Really?
Yeah, it was all him.
So do you ride your. So you, when you throw your ball, it comes out and it's like right in the edge and then it shoots back or what? Like.
We call them boards, you know, them wooden blinds on the lane. If you notice, like, they're all different, different piece of wood. That's what we call them boards. Mm. And we have this thing, like, I can hit every board on the right side, meaning like, if I hook the ball from the left, I'll start on the left side in the gutter and hook the ball every board of the lane. And we've been doing that since we was in junior, since kids.
Wow. And you think about that, that just instantly brings you back to G-Pop. And
yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Oh yeah, because he the only reason I was in the bowling alley.
Yeah.
And then my mom too, because my mom's, I still bowl with my mom. I still bowl teams with my mom. And we bowl in some Antioch together on Sundays.
Oh, that's dope.
Me and my mom. And she go to tournaments with me too sometimes, you know.
But she ain't as good as you.
Man, you know, she's getting older. But my mom.
She was good back in her heyday.
She still can bust your ass when she feeling good.
Right.
So I mean, I won a lot of money with my mom over these years. I can't be mad at it.
Yeah. So my last transitioning question, well, it's kind of twofold, I guess. The first thing is, and it's only because I heard you mention this about you refer to her as your baby mom. So does that mean y'all not together no more?
we together.
Okay.
We together, but you know, everything had their ups and downs.
Right.
Especially being on quarantine, you've been stuck to this person for 2 years straight, and one of y'all just now getting back out the house, but y'all still around each other all the time. So it's like, you know, it's just things people get through. It's like.
Right. So y'all still trying this thing out? Y'all parenting together?
No, we still together. We
y'all holding it down.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what would you say then in that case, what has helped you get through that and stay together? Because it's, you know, sometimes it's easier to leave or to like just break up as opposed to trying to work on the issues or the conflicts that you're having. And what did you do to resolve those? And I'm sure they still come up. Like you said, you got your ups and downs. So what do you do personally as like, what are things you implement or what are actions you take to kind of get through that?
I think it's big on, just getting some you time. Like, you don't have to be attached to this person all the time. Like, yeah, you know, you with them, but it's I think it's good to have your you time. Take some time. I say take 10 minutes out of your day, no matter what time it is, just to get some you time in. Just reflect on you. Make sure you right.
Right.
Because, man, like, she was probably a big part of the mental health issue because, you know, they don't know. Us being men, we not built to talk about our problems. Mm. Like, we not just gonna talk like that. And I mean, I was only child, so I'm not used to talking like that. Like, I'm used to figuring it out in my brain. Mm. And I had to learn that, you know, people raised different, grew up different, got to compromise a little well. Cause I mean, I can be pissed off, not think about it, not talk about it. Next day, I'm good. It's just like, it just becomes small shit after a while because you're arguing over the same things after you've been together. Me and her been there 16 years. Like,
stuff starts to seem petty.
Yeah, it's like we didn't be together 15, 16 years. So it's like.
But you still stick that out. Yeah, you just, it's the little shit because y'all been together for 16 years.
Yeah, you know, if some of these long-term relationships, they just get mad over little stuff these days. Mm-hmm. I mean, we both do, but it's like, y'all both know y'all not going nowhere. And for me, it's a lot, my daughter, like, it ain't nothing like hearing that little girl say daddy or daddy this, or, you know, she just happy to see you. Like, especially, like I said, our story, we lost 8 of them. So I had it in my mind. I wasn't going to have no kids. So it's like, just that right there is a lot. Like, I compromise a little bit more than her mama. But
sounds like we all got to, us men.
Yeah, you know, we got at least got to feel like, know, you know, we still holding in there. Like, you know,
that's also, I think, has to do with your ego. Like, you're willing to drop your ego. And that is probably where most of us men struggle the most.
Yep.
Is, you know, taking a step back and not allowing the ego to drive our actions or the way we're reacting to a situation.
Because, you know, a lot of these, every action don't need a reaction.
Right.
You know, just sometimes you gotta, and when, like, especially your kid's mother or somebody you've been with for years, they know how to push your buttons. They know exactly what to do to push your buttons. You just gotta already know what they're doing.
Right.
That's where I'm at now. Like, I know what you're doing. You're not finna fool me. And it's like, we get over it. I think that's helped us both because she know we just gonna get over it quicker.
Right.
She know, to an extent, I'm not taking her serious. Like, you're not gonna leave. Like, you just said it 100 times. You done wore all your negativity out. Mm-hmm. I so know you, I know you just bad right now. So right. I was like, okay, maybe I'm not going to, I'm not going to entertain you.
Wow. It gets to that point, huh? Eventually.
Man, like, we've been, like I said, 15, 16 years. Like,
so, you know, last thing, Lee, do you read at all?
I do.
So can you maybe leave my people, our audience with, maybe a book or two recommendation?
The 48 Laws of Power.
That's the first one?
That's
what's a summary of that?
It's deep. it just tell you the world. Like, you know, it starts off back in the days, you know, with the BCs and all that. Mm. And the manipulative people that you'll come across to try and alter your journey. Mm. That's a good definition for it, because it's going to just take you from different. It's going to take you from old school, and it's going to name people that you know, and it's going to take you from new school, and it's going to name people that you know. It's going to tell you different things they did, and they're going to tell you. It's going to build you up to a point of, I guess, solidarity and of yo, what people try to do. They try to manipulate you a lot, and. Mm.
To
get what they want. It's like, mm-hmm. just hold your ground.
And you got a second one?
I do, but I don't know the name. But it deals with the mental health thing and different things. It's a, I forgot the name of it, but he's an old army vet.
Okay.
Black man. Mm. And he just talk about his struggles being a black man and the army vet, and still, like, people, you know, these days, he don't wear army stuff all the time, and he still go through stuff. And it's like, being a black man in the world these days, we would thought it'd been getting easier, but it's kind of getting harder.
Yeah.
And this world is set up for us to lose, and you just gotta be. You got to be just smart in what these governments and what these people be trying to do.
And that's what that book touches on?
And that book just touches on, just hold your, it just basically hold your ground.
Right.
Believe, if you believe in something, go for it.
Right.
It's on you to discover if it's right or wrong.
Right, right.
You know, you can write your own path. Ain't nobody write it for you.
Hell yeah.
Like, ain't nobody write it for
that's
you.
That's the truth.
They be trying to. That's the bad part. That's what both of these books is about, like, somebody always trying to write your book for you, but you gotta
take the pen and take control, be the author of your own story.
Mm-hmm. It ain't nothing wrong with having a voice.
Right.
But the world these days trying to scare us from that voice. Mm. And it's nothing wrong with having a voice.
Well, Corey, man, I want to say thanks for dropping by on the hangout with Gregory Collins. It's been a blast busting it up with you. I got to get you back because we're just short on time.
Oh, no.
But I really enjoy, I just feel like we just started getting cooking. And and I just feel like the topics can continue to go on. Oh, so I'd love to have you back on.
All day.
Plus, we just discussed this business piece, so I'm sure we'll have an opportunity to get you back on. But yeah, man.
You know,
maybe
I can pick your brain, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, you know, that'd be cool. You know? Never know.
Sure, yeah, maybe pick your brain.
Hey, I'm always open to that. You know, it goes both. It's the hangout. You
right.
Know? Yeah, it just happens to be with Gregory Collins.
And, you know, let's appreciate you for doing this for the culture, man.
Like, oh, thank you, man.
Man, this is, black people got to help black people. We got to see us win, because nobody's speaking it up to existence. If we don't see ourselves winning, nobody else gonna see it. So we got to help each other promote these businesses. Black owned everything out here. Let's bring That's Oakland right. back.
And, shout out, man. Check his business out, Sky Rose Collection. I'll have the link in the description. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate you, my guy.
Thank you.
Talk soon. Peace, y'all.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.